In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anybody should hear my voice and let me in and open the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and they with me." You see, this verse says something about we have to make a decision to open the door. And so what would it look like to live an open door life? This is what we're seeking in this series called Open Door, inviting Jesus into our everyday. No matter how you're joining, if you just joined us online, hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're joining us from Sunbury, our Sunbury campus, we welcome you too. And we know there are people all around the world watching and hearing the word of God today or this morning or whenever you're watching. See, week two, we're going to talk about quiet availability. Last week, we talked about what? That's where you can respond typically just to let me know, hey, I'm not sleeping yet, which you shouldn't at this point of the sermon. But we talked about what? Well, maybe just some of you don't know. We did a service last week. I think most of you were there, but if not, undead moralism. It is a different term, but undead moralism, where we talked about there has to be a moment where we have to literally die to our flesh, die to ourself, and then be resurrected in the morality of Jesus. Well, today we're going to be talking about quiet availability. And what quiet availability means is we're just going to break it down. Quiet is defined as to make or become silent, calm, still. Availability is the quality of being able to be used or obtained, to be used or obtained. So when we put those together, we have a definition that looks like this. Quiet availability is the process of being able to calm the flesh and be used by the Spirit. So this is very similar to dying to our flesh, to dying to ourselves. But sometimes throughout the day, there can be things that can creep in that maybe we just need to take a moment, slow down, be calm, and allow God to speak to us and be used by the Spirit at that moment to hear the Spirit. But what happens a lot of times? Things become louder than the voice of God in our life. And so we're going to find out exactly what some of those things are through the prophet Elijah. But here's the bottom line today. God is not too busy to speak to us. So why are we too busy to listen to him? It's a good question. And we're going to talk about a life of a prophet named Elijah in a moment. But would you pray with me? Father, I pray that I would just get out of the way right now. Whatever, if there's distractions in the room, I just pray that those distractions would leave so we have hearts and minds open to your word and what you have for us today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're going to first look at a burnt out prophet. And then we're going to talk about a respondent God. And then we're going to ask some questions about how we, as a people, from what we just heard, how we can respond appropriately. But we see first this picture of a prophet he would think would have it all together, but unfortunately has found himself in a place of burnout. Because Jezebel, there's this Jezebel again. If you're with us a few weeks ago, we talked about who Jezebel was. Basically, Jezebel is a queen, the wife of King Ahab. And she was an evil person and actually called woman of Satan. And wanted the whole region, even God's people, to worship someone called Baal, a Baal god. And kind of led the way of Baal prophets in that area. But Jezebel's voice was louder than God's, and in fact, so loud that Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. See, Jezebel threatened the life of Elijah, literally sent him a message and said, "Hey, tomorrow, you're going to die. I've killed other prophets of God. You're going to die as well." And why did she send this letter? Well, in about 17 minutes, you're going to find out exactly what happened to cause her to write this letter to Elijah that literally caused Elijah, a prophet of God, to be afraid. So his fear became louder than God's voice at this moment. And he ran literally for his life. The fear of Jezebel was louder than the impactful Jesus, the impactful Yahweh in his life. Kind of reminds you of Jonah, who said nope to God and ran the other way and didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. So Elijah was just burnt out. Elijah's hope was literally gone. And in fact, it was so gone that he says this, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. And this is not like a take my life, I surrender to you, God, like we sing sometimes in our songs. Take my life and let it be. It's not that type of take my life. This was literally Elijah saying, God, just kill me now. I've had enough. I'm not even better than any of my ancestors, doubting himself, wanting to die, all because Elijah just couldn't stand to live in a land where the people were so blindly infatuated with honoring Baal and these other gods, rather than honoring Yahweh, the one true God. He was just sick of it. And if you're like me, you look at this and you're like, this is Elijah. Elijah in Hebrews chapter 11 is mentioned in the prophets section of Hebrews 11 as a hero of faith. And we're seeing a man right here, he doesn't have a lot of faith in God. He has more faith in what Jezebel's gonna do to him than God's voice, but yet he's a hero of faith. But I want to remind you of what Hebrews says about these powerful prophets. Hebrews 11:34 says that their weaknesses were turned to strength. James 5:17, that Elijah was human just like us. See, Elijah was ordinary. We do kind of boost him up because he was a special prophet of God, but he wasn't perfect. He was just like us. He had his struggles. But Hebrews says what was so great about these men and women is that they knew their weakness, though, could become strength if they just live in the power of God. And Elijah's gonna get there, and we'll see that. But right now, Elijah is burnt out, but it just kind of gives maybe us a little hope, you know, as ordinary human beings, that yeah, we can fail. We can have weaknesses. We can have our struggles, but we serve a God who loves us and who says, I can take your struggle, I can take your weaknesses, and I can create a strength, because in your weakness, you have to rely on me. And it's that mindset that we can have. It's that mindset that made Elijah a hero of faith. But right now, this is just a down moment in Elijah's life. But aren't we thankful that we serve a respondent God, a God who responds with love, with grace, with mercy. And so God responds to the state that Elijah is in. And it's a refreshment. It's a refreshing way that God gives for Elijah. First of all, God refreshed Elijah's physical frame. He was literally beaten down with sleep. God refreshed Elijah with sleep. Then he lay by the bush and fell asleep. Did you know sleep is one of the natural ways that God gives us to reset ourselves? To reset ourselves physically. And so, if you find yourself without hope, if you find yourself depressed, anxious, maybe you just need more sleep. You need more rest. I'm 39 years old, and statistics say that I need 7 to 9 hours of sleep every single night. Well, a miracle occurred in my life last night. I got 7 hours and 19 minutes, my phone told me. That's a miracle, because it doesn't happen very often. If you were to look at my sleep meter, my sleep app, I get about 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep a night. And for me, that works. But statistics say, no, to be sure of your health, you need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And so I'm a little bit challenged of that sometimes, but I do wake up refreshed, which is important, because I want to tell you a little bit why we sleep, the science behind it. Listen to this. In a normal sleep period, a person experiences 4 to 6 sleep cycles. And in each of those sleep cycles, it is built in that in each of those, it enhances us and refreshes us in certain ways, mentally and physically especially. REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement, makes up between 20 to 25% of total sleep in healthy adults. On average, we spend about 2 hours per night dreaming. And I love this statistic. Or this fact. The key driver of the body's circadian rhythm, how we operate, why we operate, or internal clock, is the suprachiasmatic nucleus. Can you just bump your neighbor and say suprachiasmatic? Go ahead, suprachiasmatic. Say it 10 times faster, neighbor. Okay, that's enough. This happens in the brain, and that aspect of your brain is made up of 20,000 neurons. 20,000 neurons. Isn't that crazy? How just when you study sleep like this, and you look at the what happens when we sleep, the 20,000 neurons, there's actually people who think that happens by chance. That just somehow an unthinking just created that. To me, this points to a God who knows us, who created us in his image, and who has built in for us a way for us to refresh ourselves. And here's just a side statistic. Well, let me ask this question. Men out there, how many of you snore? Show of hands. Okay, let the statistics show that's about 25%. Here's the real stat. About 57% of men. So how many men actually won't admit that you snore? I don't snore. If you ask my wife, she might tell you differently, but I've never heard myself snore. So she actually took a video of me and there is proof. But you know what? You know what? Snoring just means I'm sleeping very, very deeply. And snoring is just an indicator that God is resetting me. So if your spouse snores, cut them a little slack. God's just resetting them. By the way, 40% of women snore too. So, you know, let's cut some slack. But sleep is a natural way that God created for us to reset ourselves. Rest, it's so important. But also another way is through food and what we eat, how we eat. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. So Elijah is finding himself, ran away. He finds himself in this bush, and he's woken up with some bread baked over hot coals. So this scene is literally, while he's being reset with sleep, there's an angel sent by God to cook for Elijah. Elijah had a personal chef with him at this moment who got the coals hot and baked some bread. Isn't that really nice? And also offered a jar of water. And after he ate and drank, he lay down again because God was preparing Elijah for 40 days and 40 night journey to get him where he wanted him. And so what sleep does, what proper eating does, and I gotta say, I'm not perfect at proper eating. In fact, I say, I work out to support my eating habits. That's what I tell people. But I don't go crazy because I love certain foods and there is a discipline to it, but food offers strength as well, just like sleep does. And it is important. And I know, and if you've been with us for a while, at least in the last 2 years, you know Pastor Arley's sermons, a lot of times he says, but I'm going to be getting a new body once I'm in heaven. And boy, who can't wait for a new body? And while that is true, I don't think that means that we just need to neglect what God has given us as we prepare people and prepare ourselves for the coming Christ. We can't just say, well, I'm going to get a new body anyway, so with this one, I'm going to do what I want. Sleep and food are natural resets and strengths that God gives us. And so if you're finding yourself without hope and maybe a little depressed or anxious, ask the question, how are you sleeping? What are your eating habits? That can help you to regain maybe some hope. And God put that in us naturally for that to happen. But then also God refreshed Elijah's mental state, physical state and mental state. God directed Elijah. God got him strong enough in order to direct him where he wanted. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now, this mountain is called Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb has another name that we might be familiar with called Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where God took Moses to give him the Ten Commandments. And he showed up in his presence. And he's about to do the same thing with Elijah to help him out. And so he's out, he's in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by. So mentally, God is preparing him and resetting him on this mountain, the same mountain that Moses was on. God reminded Elijah of his grandeur. The scene is this, and imagine this scene. You're downhearted, you just run away, you're running for your life. Somebody is literally threatening your life. You want God to end your life, and this scene happens. A great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Wow, that's gonna get his attention. The rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And why I say this is a reminder for Elijah is what happens before this moment. And before he ran away, and before Jezebel threatened his life. There's a scene here that happened where Elijah was sick of these Baal prophets and Jezebel trying to get the people of God to join in those moments, those sacrificial moments of Baal. And so Elijah said, all right, God, what can I do? And so God told him to make an altar and put a bull to sacrifice on the altar. And then bring the Baal prophets and Jezebel too to this moment and ask those Baal gods, the Baal god, to rain down fire to burn up the sacrifice. And so this is what Elijah did. So this is the scene. He said, all right, Baal prophets, call on your God to burn up the sacrifice. And guess what happened? Nothing. Just like what happens when there's false gods being worshiped. They're false. They're not real. They're not true. And so Elijah said, all right, y'all, step aside. Oh, but first, before I call on my God, Yahweh, I want you to go get some water, and I just want you to drench this altar, drench this bull, so that you don't think there's any funny business or trickiness or magic or whatever going on here. And he says, okay, God, do your thing. This is the Pastor Brandon version, remember. Okay, God, do your thing. And God rained fire on the bull and the altar and burned it all up. Well, at this moment, the people who were present began to believe in God, and Elijah killed all of the Baal prophets who were there, literally put them to death. And so Jezebel, because her heart was evil, didn't see the mighty acts and the power of this moment from God. And so she got mad. You killed these, you're dead too now. And so this is what got Elijah. And isn't it interesting in this moment where it's like, all right, I just saw fire from heaven from God. This is Elijah. And now I get this letter from Jezebel. If I were Elijah and I just saw this, I'd be like, hey, Jezebel, did you not just see what my God did? And now you're threatening me? Who are you? You're nothing, woman of Satan. That's what scripture calls Jezebel, woman of Satan. You can't touch me. I serve an almighty God. So this threat is nothing. You would think Elijah, the mighty prophet, the hero of faith, would have had that type of faith to do that, but he didn't. And as we saw earlier, he ran. He got scared. So what's going on? There needed to be a reset or a refresher with Elijah. And so his physical state, now his mental state is there of God showing up. It wasn't in the powerful, but I think God used that to maybe alter his mind a little bit. But then God really came and refreshed Elijah's spiritual frame. And we see this reset here. It was this stillness. This reset came with his attention. He got his attention, and we know this. After the fire came a gentle whisper. The gentle whisper. After all this spectacle, rocks being destroyed, mountains being destroyed, then came the whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, recognizing the presence of God in this moment. That's what that says. And went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And now Elijah was finally ready to hear from God. In other ways in scripture, we see it in Zechariah, another place where God reminds us of this. So he said to them, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by what? Come on, not by might, nor by power, but by what? My spirit. You see, my spirit, the unseen, the quietness, the stillness, says the Almighty. God is saying this, I'm not always going to work in the big. I can work through miracles. I can do miracles. I can crush mountains. I can do those things. I can be dramatic. But sometimes that's not how I want to work. I want to work in the still, small, gentle whisper. But you're not present because there's so many other things that are drowning out my voice. And so I need you to pay attention in the whisper. We need to turn down the noise of fear, turn down the noise of anxiety, turn down the noise of hopelessness, turn down the noise of politics, turn down the noise of Facebook, of Instagram, of social media, of the lies that people are telling you. What if God is in your stillness, but you're just not willing to meet him there because you're too busy? Things are too loud. I'm focusing on everything else, but that still small voice. I'm reminded of a time in Missouri at a camp where I find myself lying on my back in the middle of the night with the wet dew and the cold nights that Missouri brings, utterly hopeless and wanting to leave my ministry situation at the time. This was in college. God woke me up and said, just quiet yourself, go out and lay down. And while I was laying there, I said, man, God, I just can't do this. I can't do it. I'm done. And he said, that's your problem. It's not you. It's me. And if it's not me, you're going to find yourself burnt out. If it's not by my power, if it's not by my might, the Lord told me, then yes, quit. But it's about me, not you. And at that moment, I was refreshed. And I went back in. And from that moment on, God put relationships in the teens' lives that they actually wrote to me after the fact. That if I would have left, I believe I would have left the will of God for my life at that time. But the loudness of the anxiety I had needed to be silenced. And it was in the silence when God spoke to me and turned my thinking around. And so at this point, Elijah's finding himself mentally there, physically there, now spiritually willing to listen. And so then God asks again the question, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Why are you here? And finally he heard it, and he was now in a place to listen. But the rest of the story would tell you this. Do you know Elijah's answer that time? It's found in 1 Kings 19:14. So Elijah replied, again, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down. I'm about the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. It's the exact same answer as the beginning of the scene in the scripture. It's like, whoa, whoa, he just had this experience. What's going on, Elijah? But I'll tell you this. Sometimes maybe it's not a full answer. Maybe it's God saying, I just want to get you to a place where you listen. Because Elijah listened. Actually, God didn't even pay attention to that answer this time. He just says, Elijah, just go. I want you to go and I want you to anoint these people. I want you to go and I want you to find your successor. And he did all those things. He went back and he did those things. And then God rewarded him by not allowing Elijah to die. Later on, Elijah was swept into heaven without dying. That's how Elijah left this earth. He didn't die, and God rewarded him. God rewarded his obedience, but God had to pull him out of this burnt out slump. And did it fix all of the things in Elijah's life? No, he still remained human. But what it did is it put him into a place to listen. And it was in the still, small voice that he listened. God just had to get him out of the dramatic, emotional state that he's in. And so how can we respond? If you're in Sunbury, Pastor Ryan's going to take you the rest of the way. We'll see you guys here next week. But how do we respond? I have three questions for us today that might resonate with you, one of them, maybe all of them. But what lies are louder than the truth? What lies are louder than the truth? Let me give you maybe some common lies. How about this lie? I must be perfect. I can't make any mistakes. That's a lie. It's easier to avoid problems than to face them. That's a lie. When we have God and the Holy Spirit, he gives us the strength to face them. How about this lie? You are only as good as what you do. You're only as good as what you do or what you've done. That's a lie. You're good because God loves you, who you are, and whose you are. But with this lie, you're only worthwhile if you are successful. And we have to watch out because the world has a different definition of success than Scripture does. So we need to know the true definition of success, or you might be caught in the trap that you're worthwhile if you're successful. Or life should be easy. That's a lie. Life should be fair. That's a lie. Life's not fair. Life's not easy. Life is hard a lot of times. But you know what? There's truth behind those things because God says, well, I'm not going to spare you sometimes from those things, from the unfairness. I'm going to walk with you through the unfairness. I'm going to walk with you through the difficult. There's the promise and there's the truth. Or all my problems are caused because of my sins and my failures. It's going to put you into a deeper depression. It's not true. So what's keeping you from being obtained by the Holy Spirit? Is it those lies? One of those, maybe a few of those lies? Is it unbelief? Maybe you just have a tough time believing in this God story and the Bible story, the biblical God. Well, can I tell you this? If that's you, I just want to ask you something. What do we want most if we were to write a story of our heroes? We wouldn't want to magnify their weaknesses, would we? We wouldn't want to magnify these moments. I believe that if the Bible were truly not written by a God who inspired and only by human hands, I don't think the story of Elijah would exist. I don't think we would know this story because who would want to write this about one of the greatest prophets of all time? But this is truth. It's inspired by God and it proves that this wasn't written with the mind of a human, but God's inspired truth through the minds of humans. Or it just might be busyness. You might just be too busy. Maybe that's your holdup. Maybe that's why some of you are like, man, I'm just not hearing from God. Maybe you just need to slow down. Maybe you need to get more rest. Maybe you need to do something about your dieting, your eating habits. Maybe it's that too. So how can we calm our hopeless spirits? There's a new covenant passage in James that I love that tells us a lot about this quiet availability. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be what? Quick to do what? Listen. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. I believe if the Bible were written today, this would say, quick to listen, slow to post. Because it's easy to hear something and be quick to post something back or quick to do something out of emotion, like get angry, but we're slow to anger. If we're quicker to listen, if we're quicker to understand, then we are to post something back or to speak something out or to become angry. See, God can't work in our anger. That's why he said you need to listen. Because if you're willing to listen to me, your response will be godly. Your response won't be so emotional or at times irrational. So James is saying you just need to be quiet and listen to me first. Then I can respond. And you can be available to what I want to say through you, not what you want to say through your emotions. This is what it's saying. Sometimes we just need to chill. We need to get quiet. We need to rest. We can't magnify our problems, our issues, because if we do, we minimize God. Sometimes we think our problems are giants and mountains, and they might be to us, but to God, they're not. And so let's see them through God's standpoint, with God and through God, as he wants to walk with us. And he wants to talk with us, because he's not too busy to talk with us. He's not too busy to speak to us. Why sometimes are we too busy to hear him? To hear what he wants for our life. Allow him to reset us. Allow him to heal us. Allow him to indwell in us so that we can respond to people appropriately. God's not too busy to speak to you. Why are you too busy to hear him? Let's pray. God, you are good. Thank you for your word and how you speak to us. Thank you for examples like Elijah, how you preserved Elijah's story for us to hear. What an example Elijah was of somebody who was broken, maybe somebody whose faith was lost, how to find it again. God, thank you for that. And Father, I know that there's somebody hearing my voice, either here or online, that they're starting to hear the knock. They're starting to hear the gentle whisper. And if that's you, I would say, don't ignore it. That's the Holy Spirit wanting to get into your life. And so if that's you, I just want you to say in your spirit something like this. You can say it out loud if you want to. Father, I'm done ignoring you. I am done trying to live my life how I want. Father, I finally want to submit to you and what you want. I do believe in your Holy Scripture and your Son, Jesus. And I thank you for dying for everything that's bad for me and in me. Thank you for restoring my heart. I pray that you would come in and you would live in my heart. Father, I pray for those who might be a little down today or depressed or anxious or worried. I pray that in this moment, your still small voice would come to them, that you would give them answers. You would give them hope. Show them your love and your grace and your mercy. Father, you are good. You offer us rest. Pray that we can find that in the busyness of our lives. We're sorry when we're too busy for you. But thank you for your forgiveness. We love you. It's in Jesus' name all God's people said, amen and amen. Hey, I want to challenge you. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, whether you're online or here in the room, first of all, congratulations. It's the best decision you'll ever make, but you need help. You need support. We want to know. Tell somebody you're with that you just made a decision for Jesus Christ. You can fill out the I Choose Jesus card in the seat backs. You can text us, I Choose Jesus, all one word, 570-273-0088, because we want to know you. We want to get to know you, and we want to tell you your next steps of what you need to do now to sustain your newfound faith. Hey, guess what? Christ Wesleyan and beyond, we love you, but more importantly, God loves you. Don't be too busy out there to hear from God. God bless you.